We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
And good morning.
Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
And by the way, have you been on since you've been back on this show?
No,
I don't think you were on Monday or Tuesday, were you?
No.
Tell our listeners what you did there.
I have been on vacation visiting family up in Nova Scotia, Canada. Particularly Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, is an island off of the northeast shore of Cape Breton. Had a wonderful time. If you live in the south, the weather in Canada right now, that portion of Canada, is like a southern fall. So you've got temperatures, high 50s, low 60s overnight, 70s during the day. It was
perfect.
Pretty much perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. And I want to give, before I forget, I want to give a plug for the AFR app.
Okay.
One morning, I was sitting at a picnic table on a beach there on the Bedore Lakes of Cape Breton, and it was coming up close to the top of the clock, and I said, I think I'd like to listen to one of our newscasts.
Yeah.
Just brought it up on my phone, and it was like our anchor, Bronson, was sitting next to me.
Nice.
Wow. So I'm just on the beach. I'm just talking about the strength of the signal.
Yeah. No, I've been sitting on the beach.
Yeah.
And
they with have my internet up there.
With my cell phone. Just the app is, you've got to get it, folks.
Yeah.
Good.
You've got to get this. If you want to, you know, have AFR with you wherever you're going. Ray Pritchard, our good friend Ray Pritchard, has talked about using the app when he's overseas.
Right.
Mission trips.
He has said that.
Yeah. That sort of thing.
We promote it here because we know it's an option. But for anybody, and other people that are listening, they may have used it in their location, in their same location within their daily and weekly jobs and tasks. But once you leave that and you go somewhere completely different and you realize there's no AFR signal on a dial, then you open up your phone. I did have the same moment. I've used it on... I pulled it up. It was Trivia Friday. Shout out to Trivia Friday. I pulled up Trivia Friday on the app as well, as I've traveled before where there was no terrestrial radio station.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wait, this is cool. It does work.
It really does.
You could take AFR anywhere.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So download the AFR. Is it available like Androids and iPhones and Apple?
If your name starts with T, there's a certain password. So... But other than that, everyone else should be able to download it. So, Tim, that would include you.
Well, you want to talk about hacking here?
You know how to hack?
Ed's got some horror stories.
I don't want to talk about it.
No, I was joking. Really, anyone, there's no cost. It's free. Just download the app. Go to your app store on your mobile device, and there it is. So you type in AFR.
But what I'm saying is that it's available on all kinds of different smartphones.
Correct.
Yes.
That's right. Hey, I tell you what, the easiest way, and just go a step further, our wonderful IT department went through a, if someone has no clue where to begin, how can I help them? And you go to AFR.net, go to the bottom, and there's a tab that says I'm paraphrasing, how do I download the app?
Yeah.
And you click it, and it's like a play-by-play. So if you so AFR
step by step,
like you're a third grader.
Like you're now you're insulting the people.
No, like I see a lot of people post on Twitter or whatever. They'll say, "Tell me about so and so," like I'm a 10-year-old.
Yeah, I think you're in the wrong age bracket because a third grader's gonna know.
Well, but, duly noted. So, maybe the 2-year-old needs help.
No, I think you say, "Tell me like I'm an 85-year-old."
Oh, you flip the script.
You flip the script
for technology.
For technology only.
Technology, okay.
Y'all are looking at it right here. AFR.net. It says download the app. You click there, and once you've clicked there, it's step by step.
It walks you through.
So,
yep.
With technology, you say. Explain it to me like I'm 85 years old.
There you go.
That's right.
Oh, okay. But anyway, welcome home.
Wonderful time. Now, when you and Allison were in Boston a few weeks ago, you experienced lobster.
Oh, man.
Yes.
And she ate it like every meal.
Yeah.
And then,
the lobster roll you were talking about. She loved it.
Oh, man. She said, seemed like every day she'd go, "This is the best lobster roll I've ever had." I'm going, "You said that yesterday."
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead.
It was absolutely wonderful. My nephew kept some aside. The season's over formally right now, so he kept some aside. We went to the beach with about 20 other family and friends, and we had a lobster feed. It was absolutely incredible. So had a great time.
You know, I was thinking about that. I know you've heard we've heard people talk about, quote, overfishing, right? I mean, I don't know how you – I guess scientists and marine biologists have a way of figuring this out, but – I'm just wondering when we're going to run out of lobster.
Well, they are pretty strict up there. I mean, you can't just be anybody and go out there and drop a lobster trap.
No, but I mean, the consuming of it, not only in New England and Canada.
That's why they have seasons, too. It's not all year round.
Okay. Yeah, but I think they're growing them now, too, because Korean Airlines flies a Boeing 777 into Halifax, Nova Scotia, and they load up on lobster to take to Seoul.
So you think they have like lobster farms?
Oh, yeah.
Like catfish farms?
Because you can buy live lobster 12 months a year.
Okay.
There's, I think, Clearwater Lobster is the name of the place, and you can get it 12 months of the year. At the Halifax Airport, if anybody goes through there sometime, they have a huge tank with about 300 live lobsters in it. And they will cook them there for you, and you can take them on the plane, take them home.
I've done that.
Do these lobsters know their destiny?
they do not, sir.
It's a big secret.
I remember growing up, it was very rare for my family to get lobster where we lived. It wasn't cheap. It wasn't like eating a bologna sandwich. But on occasion, we would. And I remember dropping them into the pot. My mom said, "Hey, drop those. It's time to drop those into the pot." And you know,
did you
traumatize me
at all?
It was off putting because now they don't really
struggle. That's why people don't have pet lobsters.
It's boiling water when you put them in, and I think they die pretty much immediately. But it is they turn red. Yes. They're not red until they're boiled.
That's right.
And
I grew up on a harbor, and they fish lobster like right across the street from my house.
Yeah,
you talk about getting fresh lobster. We used to get that
right out of the right out of the ocean.
I just think that by the time we move on, we would have used the word lobster more than we would have used it the rest of the year.
I will say this, lobster. To bring this into a little bit of perspective. My understanding is lobsters are like actually in the insect family or something. Of that nature.
Crustacean, for sure.
Yeah, crustacean.
Yes.
Crustaceans. I thought that's like a guy who says, "Get off my lawn."
old George, he's a little bit of a crustacean. Crusty old guy. All right, Wesley says no more talking lobster.
We got to talk end of the world stuff?
Yeah, let's dive into it.
Okay.
All right.
So much to talk about. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, a little bit down memory lane for the lead story this morning. How many times over the last 3 years have we heard President Joe Biden denying that he had any involvement with his son Hunter Biden's business? If you haven't caught some of those, let me remind you right now. Cut one.
I know he was on the board. of that company. I've never discussed my business or their business, my son's or daughter's. I never discussed a single thing with my son about anything having to do with Ukraine.
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings.
I have never discussed with my son or my brother or anyone else anything having to do with their businesses, period.
Well, there you have it. Well, the New York Times, of all places this morning. Now, the story is kind of buried on the front page of their digital edition of the New York Times, but here's the headline. Hunter Biden sought State Department help for Ukrainian company. Hunter Biden, first line, sought assistance from the U.S. government for a potentially lucrative energy project in Italy while his father was vice president, according to newly released records and interviews. Now, it's a fairly long story, but let me give you kind of the brief on it. Basically, the New York Times, through a FOIA request, Freedom of Information request, they issued back a couple of years ago, the State Department just in the last few days released the information with regards to this letter that Hunter Biden apparently wrote to the U.S. ambassador in to Italy, looking for some introductions to help him. Remember, he was a board member of Burisma, this big energy company in Ukraine. So he was seeking help. It was really interesting. And according to the New York Times story, the embassy officials were very uneasy with Hunter Biden's request. In fact, they quote one of the embassy officials there as saying in this letter, "I want to be careful about promising too much. This is a Ukrainian company, and purely to protect ourselves, the United States government should not be actively advocating with the government of Italy without the company going through the DOC Advocacy Center." So all of this is very interesting. Number one, the release from the State Department finally of this communique between Hunter Biden and the U.S. ambassador in Italy. But also it comes just a few weeks before Hunter Biden is due to go on trial for the tax evasion trial, which including evading taxes on millions of dollars in income from Burisma and other foreign businesses. All of this today, not on Fox News, in the New York Times.
Now, I did access the New York Post. They are running a story now on it, crediting the New York Times. So that is almost part of the story, that the New York Times is the one who dug this up and publicized it. I wonder if that is because Joe Biden is out,
yes,
in terms of being a candidate.
There's some things politicians say, but there's some things humans say. There's some things politicians say of all stripes, and we all know it's not true.
Yeah.
But they continue with it anyway. That montage you played there at the first with him saying, "I never talked to my son about his business deals."
Mm-hmm. Not believing it.
Nobody believes that.
Right.
And furthermore, if you don't, what kind of relationship do you have
with
your son if his livelihood and his business interests never come up in a conversation?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so nobody believes that. Number two, with respect to Hunter Biden now, I don't think anybody cares anymore because Harris, Vice President Harris, is going to say, "I don't know anything about that. That's the Biden family issues, and that doesn't have anything to do with my campaign." You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And I don't think that Joe Biden is going to be any legal jeopardy over this when he gets through. Hunter Biden is in trouble for.
So you think they should just let this go? I mean,
I don't see him having a net effect on the presidential race.
I don't think that's what the discussion is. I think the discussion is we've been saying all along, we believed all along that they were interactions and that he and Joe Biden knew about it, and that's the evidence that we have now. So
you just think this. The bottom line is it proves that Joe Biden was not telling the truth.
And that the State Department helped him.
Okay, yes. That is a significant story. The State Department, well, I thought they told Hunter Biden they couldn't help him on that. They couldn't do that.
No. We're just learning from the State Department is just releasing this information, this communique between Hunter Biden and the U.S. ambassador in Italy.
Okay.
So they've had this information,
I got you, all
the way along.
I got you. Yeah, it's the deep state protecting their eyes.
Yes. Cover up. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go, deep state, go.
Yes.
You keep covering up.
That's right.
Okay. Oh, they will.
Yeah, they will. All right, next story, Fred.
Listen, I'm not a New York Times fan, but there is another story in the New York Times this morning. This one
You're reading a lot of New York Times stuff there, Fred.
Well,
you got to give them credit.
You listen, when they're doing these stories, they've got a story this morning on Kamala Harris's pick for VP. The headline on this is Walls faces new scrutiny over 2020 riots. Was he too slow to send troops? And this is the story that at the time of George Floyd's death, there were riots in the street of Minneapolis. The mayor of Minneapolis pleaded to the governor, who was Walls at that time, pleaded with the government to release the National Guard. Our police need help.
The governor has to do that.
Governor Walls waited 2 days. And by that time, police stations were burning. And there was significant riot damage everywhere.
Major damage. Jan Markell, who lives in that, told us.
Yeah. Well, there were blocks.
City, a long line of city blocks.
I think she said 5 or 6 blocks.
Yeah.
That have disappeared.
Irreparable.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The story is, the New York Times, is that he waited, Governor Walls at the time, 2 days before agreeing to release the National Guard to come to the rescue of the Minneapolis Police Department in the midst of those riots.
Did he comment on this, Walls, at all?
No.
And President Trump publicly criticized Walls.
Yes.
This is before Walls or anything like that.
He did praise him later for finally doing something.
Right, but that's because for 2 days he let the city burn. Mm. President Trump had to threaten that he was going to do it. Then Tim Walls said, okay, I'll release him. And then President Trump praised him for finally doing what was necessary.
Can I speculate here?
Sure.
Then, Wesley, anybody else can speculate, because that's what we do here. Speculate, throw out wild rumors. You know what I'm saying?
Pontificate.
Pontificate's all part
Every
of...
Every once in a while, bloviate.
Yeah, all part of responsible journalism.
Right.
In the world today of social media and letting it... All right, so Tim Walz, the governor there in Minnesota, he is a far lefty.
Mm-hmm.
And he believes in the social justice movement. Okay, he's a BLM guy.
Yes.
So far, you're not speculating. We're good there.
Yeah, he's proud of that.
So we're good.
He's a BLM guy. The reason he didn't act as governor any sooner, he didn't want to call out the National Guard. He wanted, he was joining the protest about George Floyd's death. And so he was, what could he do? Well, I'll just let them riot and burn and loot because they need to release their pent-up frustrations, which are justified.
Yes.
Against the white structure power in this country. And so this is me speculating. I know this sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, this guy believes he's a BLM Antifa type ideology as far as his mentality against DEI. I mean, he's all into this stuff.
Right.
So I think he didn't act because he didn't care. Nope. And he wanted to join in the protest himself, and so he reluctantly, after 2 days, sent the National Guard out, and it did stop the looting and rioting and burning of the city and the riots, but it was too little too late. Wesley.
Yeah, and we are starting to see stories over the last week and a half or 2 weeks. People are coming forward. Now, Fox is one of the few, and New York Post, some of these others, Daily Mail, over across the pond, they're starting to publicize these stories of business owners, people who were harmed. I saw one this morning, a woman who lost her business. I mean, We say 5 or 6 blocks.
Yeah.
This was an important area of Minneapolis where a lot of individually owned businesses were operating. And these people lost everything.
Yes.
And they are blaming Tim Walz for failing to. So this is starting to trickle out now. And then you have the crime victims of brutality and getting beat up and so on and so forth. So this is going to continue to trickle out because there's going to be a lot of stories to be told.
And this is just one story on Walz.
I got some more comments, but go ahead, Wesley.
I'll make mine pretty quick. We see this time and time again that especially in the Democratic Party, and especially some of the more radical ones like Tim Walz here, they allow chaos and destruction and fan the flame of it, only for them to come back later and provide some form of a solution when it could have been resolved to begin with, or at least the effort of beginning to stop the riots could have been done sooner. And so that you have to remember those things, that when they come in to do something right on occasion, you got to remember how we got here, and it's because they allowed it to happen to begin with. And now, obviously, the riots were going to take place because they were taking place all the country. But the 2 days delay is the problem here that goes to show you what was his motive, what was he trying to accomplish. Obviously, you speculated, but what was he trying to do?
I mean, he didn't want the image of the National Guard arresting young black people.
Yeah,
and stopping them from doing the, and it wasn't all. There was some white folks joined in there too, in the riots too, I'm talking about. But sure. I'm talking about, the reaction to George Floyd, which I've never understood, destruction of property in the name of getting something accomplished. But anyway.
Or looting.
Taking a 55-inch flat screen is not going to bring back George Floyd.
Right.
Or change anything.
So it was a lot of it was just an excuse to steal.
Yes, that is true.
But in the name of social justice. But anyway, what I wanted to say is there's two things here. Governor Walz, he's far lefty. He's a BLM. Bring down the white structure, power structure in America. Guy, he's deep into that. And Harris is just as bad. Mm-hmm. Listen, Harris encourage people to help pay the bail for the people who destroyed Minneapolis.
That's right.
You remember that?
Yes.
She wanted to. She tweeted, encouraging people to, and she made a contribution to the fund that was used to bail out the people who destroyed Minneapolis. Am I making this up?
No, you're not.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that shows you where she is. The other thing she did. This shows you how whacked out she is in this whole movement, and how she'll try to exploit a situation to show her street cred as a BLM type, Antifa type. She tweeted out, you remember, we mentioned this before, but you remember that phony story about Jussie Smollett? Remember that?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
He said he was attacked by two white or MAGA hat wearing, red cap wearing guys at 2 a.m. In Chicago.
This is MAGA country.
In MAGA country, they were waiting on him at 2 a.m.
I can't help but to laugh at this. I'm gonna go ahead.
Ridiculous story.
Ridiculousness.
He was
of the
walking
story.
Up from Subway.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah,
but he was Jussie Smollett, the actor. I'm hurt that you guys don't even give him a chance here.
No.
With his story. But anyway, said he was attacked. Remember, 2 a.m. by the MAGA crowd, which are, they're all over Chicago. And in January, in the middle of the night, waiting on him to come out of Subway, they evidently had intel that he was going to go for a
carrying sign. A noose.
Carrying a noose and bleach.
And bleach.
They were carrying a noose and bleach. They popped out from behind the pillar of the highway, and then on the sidewalk there, and just offered a beatdown that Jussie Smollett was lucky to escape from.
Yes.
And got home with his sandwich.
And wore the noose all the way back.
Wore the noose all the way back just for evidence
to
prove it. I mean, this guy is bless his heart. He survived this.
But your point is.
My point is, and I do have one, is that the day after this story broke, which everybody in the world knew it was a hoax.
Yeah.
Harris tweeted out that it was a, quote, modern-day lynching.
Yes.
Hmm. Remember that?
Yeah.
She didn't even wait for the evidence to come out. She wanted to get out there and say, hey.
Right. Do some race baiting today.
I'm going to get in on the race baiting right here today. I'm Vice President Harris.
And I like unity.
That's the kind of person we're talking about here. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Did you know that every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds, introducing them to the beautiful life growing inside. Once she meets her child inside her womb and hears their heartbeat, the chance of her baby's life doubles. Because of the generosity of you and me, who donate just $28 to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn can do this. The cost of a dinner to save a life, the most worthwhile investment you can make. All gifts are tax deductible and go entirely to saving babies. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life as they grow and pursue meaningful careers. One thing is for sure, you will never regret saving a child's life because life is a miracle. Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. Fred, next story.
Okay. Well, today is the third anniversary. Or do we want to go to Abe?
Oh, you mean Abe's ready?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, we go now to our live reporter. from Abe Hamilton, Abraham Hamilton, who's live on the scene at the Hamilton House. We'll see what's happening. We'll listen in the background.
In his corner.
Six children. How you doing, Brother Abe?
I'm doing well. Live reporting for you. Man of news.
And it's Bedlam in the Hamilton household. With six children.
I don't think it's Bedlam at their house.
They got it pretty well under control.
I think they do.
They do have their moments of Bedlam, I'm sure, though. You're talking about Abe's family there. But anyway, Abe is host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon, Monday through Friday, from 5 to 6 o'clock, right here on American Family Radio. He's also a constitutional attorney. Abe, you and I were talking on Monday. I didn't see this, but you said you saw Vice President candidate J.D. Vance, who's President Trump's running mate. You said you saw his appearances on one or more of the Sunday talk shows, and you just said you were impressed with him, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I was very impressed when I saw those interviews, and I was impressed for his performance. I thought he did a great job of really setting a tone for message discipline for the Trump campaign, and frankly, I think it was a masterclass in political discourse, taking full advantage of a hostile network platform to communicate your message. I thought it was really excellently done.
Now, have you guys seen him do press interviews and so forth, J.D. Vance?
The only thing I've seen is when he was recently on the tarmac, which I thought was good. Talking to the news media that was waiting there and saying, how come none of you complaining that Vice President Harris has gone, whatever it is now, it's in the 20 days or some 21, 24. 23, 24 days 24. Became the front runner at that time, the front runner for the Democratic nomination. She's now been voted, but she's done no interviews.
All right, no interviews in 24 days.
Yeah.
Well, that would be, we used 24 days. She's done no interviews at all since she's been
I want to get back to that,
sure.
that topic too, but we got a couple of clips mm-hmm. to play here that mm-hmm. Talks that Abe can comment on regarding Senator Vance from Ohio. Again, what are you going to play, Fred?
Well, this is from a weekend interview with Dana Bash, and Vance is talking about Tim Walz, who left his unit knowing they were going to be deployed and lied about. Cut number three.
One last question. Donald Trump didn't serve in the military. He received a medical draft deferment for bone spurs to avoid serving in the Vietnam War, reportedly as a favor to his father. Do you find that shameful, too?
I think that Donald Trump didn't serve in the military, but he didn't lie about it, Dana. I've known Donald Trump for a long time.
He honors me for my service.
Donald Trump didn't lie about serving in the military. He didn't say that he went to Vietnam when he didn't. This is the problem. I don't criticize anybody. Whether they served our country or not, I think it's honorable to serve, but obviously a lot of people have reasons for not serving. I criticize somebody for embellishing their record, for lying, saying, I went to war. Dana, do you think that it's a problem that he said, I went to war, but he didn't actually? That seems to be a problem to me.
Well, they've corrected that. Let's move on to...
They've corrected it by admitting that
he lied. Let's move on to another important issue to voters.
That's disgraceful.
It is.
Abe, I'm just going to say that's disgraceful. That's
on the first part of Dana Bash.
On the part of Dana Bash, that is disgraceful to sidestep that. Listen, I don't think anybody's naive about how the media's all in for the left, but that's one of the worst things I've ever seen or heard.
It's utterly disgraceful, Ed. And the thing is, she was on the ropes because at that point in the interview, J.D. Vance had already hit her with a straight jab and a left hook, rhetorically, of course, because she began by trying to give cover for Tim Walz in his stolen valor account. And J.D. Vance did a masterful job of saying, listen, the issue is not whether he served or didn't he serve. The issue is that he lied about it. Right. And then this is where the masterclass begins. He pivots from there and says, and this is an indication of the terrible judgment of Kamala Harris, where she's aware of this stolen valor argument, yet she elevates this person to the top of the Democrat ticket. This is an indication of the horrible judgment that she has. And so what you just heard was Dana Bash attempting to try to sidestep that clearly communicated sterling articulation of an issue that should call Kamala Harris's judgment into question for all of the American people. So you use Walz's lying to call Kamala Harris into question.
Well,
so then Dana Bash attempted to say, yeah, but what about Donald Trump?
Yeah, now, Abe, because you obviously, did you watch this entire interview?
Yes.
Okay, so when Dana Bash says, well, they've already corrected that, what did she mean by that? What has Tim Walz said to correct the stolen valor accusation?
The campaign has issued a mealy-mouthed statement that is hidden somewhere, saying, oh, well, technically he's never had this particular rank. He achieved this rank, but never did the additional work to sustain that rank, and even tried to sidestep the fact that he's been claiming he's been in a war zone. Dude has claimed he has PTSD.
Carried a weapon in a war zone.
Carried a weapon
That's
in war.
What he said.
Suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder from his wartime service. Yes.
Where have I been? I have not heard it. Have you guys heard that? That he has claimed that suffers from PTSD from being
he's
in
claimed
combat?
That. Yeah. He has claimed that. And so the campaign has tried to
sounds
nuance.
Like a far left liberal.
Yes.
I know him.
Try to nuance that service. Yes. And then she clearly recognized she's on the ropes. So she tried to say, they corrected that. Let's move on. And J.D. Vance says, hold it. Not moving on. They've corrected it by admitting that they've lied. That's a problem.
I like how simple he made that and how clear he said. And then he asked, "Do you not have a problem with this?"
Hey, he's getting better and better every time I see him.
He keeps it simple and short.
He's getting the fire thrown at him, and he's handling it really. I'm talking about J.D. Vance. He's handling it real well so far. Do we have another clip, Fred, or is that?
Yeah, it kind of relates to what Abe was talking about in the same interview with Dana Bash. Says Harris.
She let him talk again?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's on
this,
her.
This is kind of a follow-up to they corrected that. Cut number four.
I've seen a lot of statements from veterans, including those you served with, saying it's just untoward to be criticizing somebody who served for 24 years.
Dana, I'm not interested in the ad hominem. I've heard from a lot of veterans groups who criticize Tim Walz. The question is, he said he served in war, and he didn't. That is a dishonesty. I couldn't care less what one or the other person says about it. I care about what the truth is. The truth is that Tim Walz didn't tell the truth. And importantly, Dana, this is about Kamala Harris's judgment. And I think that when you ask, why has Kamala Harris allowed the border to be wide open? Why has Kamala Harris supported policies that have promoted the increase in inflation? I think it goes to the heart of her judgment. And I think that that's what we should be talking about.
And I would say, Dana, how long have you been working for Harris? Can you show me your payroll stub? Because I know you get one.
How much do they pay you to do this?
You know, just, wow.
Well, she would be offended by that, Dana Bash, and she would say, sir, I am an independent journalist. I'm not paid. And at that point, J.D. Vance could just laugh in her face.
Yes.
Yeah.
The other thing I didn't say, guys, is, when she was trying to give cover for Tim Walz, early in the interview, J.D. Vance says, Dana, your own CNN reported yesterday that Tim Walz is lying, yes. So she started a line of question that contradicted her own network's reporting.
Oh, wow.
It was brilliant.
I didn't know that.
And he not only pivoted the conversation, he then returned to his major points, inflation, the border.
Yep.
This is Kamala's judgment issue. And then he concluded that whole portion by saying, and she needs to come and explain to the American people why she made these choices. Not through a spokesperson, not through an intermediary, not through some amorphous post on a website somewhere. She needs to face the American people and explain that, since she's seeking the highest office in the country.
You know what I like so far, and I think I'll continue to, because I think this is the real person we're seeing, about Senator Vance from Ohio is... he's normal. and he's not trying, at least as far as I can tell, to spin everything or couch everything or obfuscate. Is that what you say?
Yeah, obfuscate.
Yeah.
He's cloudy.
He's being asked a lot of hard questions. He's doing Q&A. He's going on CNN, going into the enemy camp and doing an interview with Dana Bash. He knows it's going to be hostile, but he's doing these things, and he's looking impressive.
And he's very just in that clip and the other ones that I've heard. He's very easy to listen to. You know what I mean?
Yes. There's like a lot, like most hillbillies.
Yeah. If you take out, there's a lot of things that we look at for different reasons. When we look at stuff like this, like as a Christian, as a appearance, things like that. But if you just take all our content, what's the content is as important to us. If you take all that off the table and just look at the willingness to want to let him finish what he's saying and hear him out, you get that from him. You know what I mean? That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I said likable is what we would use.
Yeah. Genuine. He seems genuine.
Yeah.
You don't feel like you're being played listening to him.
But I'm impressed also. He is ready for the battle. He knows when he goes into CNN, he's facing the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
He's facing a Democrat. And did you see his voice didn't go up?
That's what I mean.
He didn't sound confused. He was ready for this.
He didn't cackle?
No, and he didn't get angry with her.
That's a good one.
You know, he didn't get angry with her.
Right.
Right. That's just what I'm talking about. He was a normal sounding, reasonable sounding person. Mm-hmm. And that's refreshing.
Yes.
Yeah, and he handled the thing. He handled where he said, well, some people say this and some people say that, and there's arguments being made both ways, but that's not what we're here to discuss. We're here to discuss that he lied.
And
that was brilliant.
Nobody's denigrating, Abe, and then we'll let you go here, but nobody's denigrating the military service of Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, in terms of him serving 24 years in the Minnesota National Guard. That ain't even the topic.
That's exactly right. And J.D. Vance emphasized that repeatedly because he's speaking as a fellow veteran, and he's saying the issue is first and foremost, on that point, the lying about it, but more broadly and more importantly, the most important issue for the American people is the questionable judgment of Kamala Harris. And that is why I'm saying that that was a masterclass in political discourse, because clearly Dana Bash didn't want to have J.D. Vance to come on to call into question Kamala Harris's judgment capacity, right? That's not why she had him on. But J.D. Vance made it the reason why he was on CNN, and I thought that was brilliant, using their platform to convey his message.
Hey, just one quick question before we let you go. Abe, do you think that the controversies that are swirling around Tim Walz, do you think that that's going to be sufficient to for him to quote unquote step down, or do you think that you think they're all in for this?
I think they're all in. I don't think that's going to be enough for him to step down ultimately. The only way that he steps down is if they see an appreciable dip in the polls, and frankly, the Democrat Party and their acolytes in the media are going to work overtime to try to prevent that from happening.
Thank you, Abe.
But what's your show? Give us a teaser for the show this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm going to talk a bit about the fact that you guys heard me say this before. You only vote for socialism once. I'm going to compare where we are in our nation currently to Venezuela's trajectory, because historically, the Venezuelans voted for Hugo Chavez initially. Now they can't get rid of Maduro. And if we're not intentional, the same things can be repeated here. And I think the Kamala Walz ticket represents an effort to normalize at the top of the American echelon socialism and Marxist policy preferences.
And the reason that Kamala Harris is not doing interviews is she doesn't want to be exposed to the voting public about how far left her views are. That's my take. And she doesn't do good interviews personally. But go ahead.
Yes, she doesn't respond well or impromptu. And she's reversing nearly every policy position she held up last night. And so she's going to have to explain to the American people, okay, this is your position now. Why did you change it after being selected? Because I really can't really call her a front runner, because she didn't really run for anything. She was just selected. But she hadn't changed any of those policy preferences until she was selected. That's a pretty open and obvious thing for the American people to diagnose.
So one or two options. She has to say, we got it wrong, and I want to change it because we've learned from our mistakes, which we know is not going to happen. Right. Or she's going to sidestep it, which hopefully is obvious to the American people.
Yeah.
Sidestep what?
The question, why are you changing your position?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. All right, Abe. Thank you. Take care.
All righty.
Okay, that's Abraham Hamilton III.
By the way, Abe mentioned that J.D. Vance, you know, gave Dana Bash a jab and a left hook, and he said metaphorically, but apparently that stuff where a man beats up a woman is allowed in the Olympics, because we saw that. We saw a couple of guys take gold medals in the women's boxing. It's just hard to believe I just said that. Two men got gold medals in the women's boxing category in the Olympics.
Well, and I did have a big thank goodness moment when we walked in the studio at the top of the hour, and that's when we saw Kirk Herbstreit say something in opposition, or he was opposed to men being in women's sports. That should be an obvious thing, but many people that make a lot of money don't want to be caught in the crosshairs.
There's risk. It's speaking your mind on this.
There's risk.
Talking about Kirk Herbstreit, who's kind of the face of college football on ESPN. He was asked about, the question was,
I got it right.
Do men belong in women's sports?
Question mark.
Okay. There was somebody on Twitter, now known as X, who posted this question. Maybe this is a famous person that I don't know. This is their handle, Shutterbug63. Do men belong in women's sports? Time for influential men in sports media to stand up, Kirk. And I don't know if he's trying to call out sports media guys. I mean, he said, Kirk Herbstreit responded back, of course not, ridiculous question. To your point, Wesley.
And then he doubled down on that in an interview, some sort of social media interview.
Yeah, he's
on Outkicks Dan Dakich.
Well, so many people are worried about being canceled for having a viewpoint that goes against political correctness.
Kurt Schilling was canceled about six, 7 years ago. The pitcher for
Boston Red Sox.
Boston Red Sox, a Hall of Famer. Right. He was, and at one point
he was denied Hall of Fame.
He should have been a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Okay,
but he has Hall of Fame numbers, no doubt.
That was good correction there. At some point, he was
the sports war. You're talking
he was
about.
An analyst. He was a commentator.
Yeah.
And then he spoke up, and he got canceled
on the transgendered issue.
It was the transgender. I think it was a BLM issue.
Okay.
But the point is he went in on an issue, answered the question, and got canceled. And that could have very easily happened to Kirk, which is why people usually don't.
He had a radio talk show, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he had a in the
I'll
Boston area.
Yeah, Kirk Herbstreit is – I think he's not cancelable
right.
any longer. And at least in the world of college football and ESPN, that would be a major headache for them. But good for him for speaking up.
Riley Gaines went around asking influential women to stand up and
yeah.
say something.
So. Yeah, yeah, you know. So good for Kirk Herbstreit.
One other thing on this, just remember, if you think you're small, insignificant platform, and you feel discouraged not to get involved or whatever, don't let that be the case, and let this guy Shutterbug 63 inspire you, because he's got a total of 358 followers.
Oh, all right.
Now he's the one,
Fox News.
Yeah, and he's the one. And I didn't say 350,000. I didn't say 350 million. I didn't say 300. He got 300 followers.
Well, why would Kirk Herbstreit respond to that? Somebody?
I don't know. I'm just pointing out that this is not a major person. Let me give an example. This is not like AFA Ministry having an action alert to Kirk Herbstreit. And him responding because he's getting thousands. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no.
Well, it says this particular question has 3 million views.
The views does. What I'm saying is that if you go to Shutterbug's Twitter handle account and you click on him,
okay,
he's got 300 followers, which is, anybody that understands social media understands, that's a very small amount. Now, you've got 15, right?
I've got 7. I looked it up. I have 79 followers. And I'm going to tell you, I think probably 75 of those are women that, frankly, look like prostitutes.
Oh, following you?
Following me.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I guess, and folks, let me clean that up a little bit.
Yeah. Please do.
Yes.
This is a Christian radio network, and that needs some context.
If you are on X, I get stuff all the time from women that look like they have OnlyFans accounts. Following me,
yes,
and it's done blindly. They send these out to all kinds of people.
Yeah.
And
then
the question pops up, do you want to follow back? Man. And I go, no, my wife has full access to my ex account, and so no, I am not. So what I'm saying, I have about 4 people who followed me legitimately that weren't spammers.
Well, my point is this guy does not have a huge following. This is not a major platform guy. I think we've lost Fred and Dad. Yes.
Sorry, that was a
Fred,
little.
Fred and Tim are just backing away from this conversation here.
It started off, I'm serious as can be, it started off women from like Russia asking, following me, and I thought, I don't know this person.
Yes.
And why are they following me? Listen, I hardly ever post anything. It's not like I'm attracting brilliant minds from overseas. They're just trying to find customers. I don't know how else to explain that.
I'm glad you added all of this context to this.
Is this where we go to a break 6 minutes early?
This is where a show goes to die.
Whatever point we were trying to make is lost.
Yeah. Sorry.
Back to you, Fred.
Anything more you want to say?
That's right. That's
sometimes
right. That's
people,
a good one.
Sometimes people from Boston can be a little too blunt.
Right. Hey.
And in sports.
I can help get us back on track.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I just looked it up. Kirk, it was in 20. Well, I'd read the content. Kirk Schilling was fired by ESPN following. He had what they called an anti-transgender comment. So it was on this issue, and he was fired of it. And if I remember correctly, and I'll get more information here, it was done on his own. It was at personal time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
weren't even done on the radio network. Or the.
Yeah. So
he was canceled.
He was canceled for having an opinion off the record.
Yeah. Well, this is about to get, it has gotten, this transgender stuff, by the way, how come we never see a woman making it in men's sports?
It's called biology.
Oh, well, I mean, all we ever see is the transgendered is the men beating up on the women, but it never works in reverse. You know, am I the only one who knows?
Yes,
this?
Because biology.
Right.
It actually proves the point that conservatives are making about the transgender.
I'll tell you when
movement.
This is going to stop. We're about getting there. I don't think the Olympic Games going to allow this kind of stuff anymore. They kind of got caught in a, I'm not saying they did the right thing, because these two men did win gold medals because they just overpowered the women. And everybody knew it. We all saw what was going on. We saw that man, the man who said he was, what do you call that when you're born with the opposite genitals?
Intersex.
Did he say he was that?
I don't think that has been publicized.
It was just sort of widely reported.
The statement was she's been a woman since birth. This is okay. But now both of these individuals had their DNA tested by a different organization, and they had XY chromosomes. So people are filling in the gaps. Then how does that happen? If
XY being a male.
XY being male chromosomes.
Okay.
But why are people saying that this individual has been a female since birth?
Well, and do we know that?
Fill in the gaps.
His
father, the one who is
said
from,
he was?
Said he's been she has been a girl since birth.
But if you look at him, whatever his name is, if you look at XY, you can tell. He's built like a man. He's got muscles like a man. Bone structure like a man. A male has a bigger lung capacity than a female. So there's so many advantages that an XY has over XX in terms of physical strength.
And endurance.
And endurance and stamina. The other thing is, so my point is we're about to run out of time. I think this is going to come to a head, an end. I don't think you'll see this in the Olympics again. That's my view. Or if it continues, some guy is going to figure out that he can say he's a girl and win big in professional sports like tennis.
Make a lot of money.
Basketball.
A lot of money to be made there.
And make a lot of money by being, you know, the brave new person who decided to change the world of sports.
Yeah.
And they're not going to have any conscience about whether it's right or wrong. They're just going to see dollar signs.
Yeah.
And sort of put the – and then make people like
– and then dare you to say something.
Dare you to say something.
By the way, I now have 80 followers.
All right.
Thank you, Steve Johnson.
Okay. We'll be back momentarily.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.